Saturday live on Dublin's Easy Place to Relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
Donna, I'm so pleased to have you back. I mean, it's been way too long since you and I spoke with each other. We went through COVID, the pandemic, lockdown. We came out of it. People were full of promise. And then, of course, we have what's happening in Ukraine. The world has become an increasingly more fearful place for a lot of people. And I think even going back to COVID and lockdown, that on its own actually made people realise how scary a place and how little control we have. And I think that for a lot of people who thought that once it was all more or less over that we just get back into things again, it hasn't actually worked out that way for many of us.
We become conditioned very easy. I mean, from the moment we're born to up to now, we're conditioned by our environment, and a lack of control is one of our primary needs. So when, you know, that's compromised, your brain goes into fight or flight and automatically starts to panic. Now when you're in a state of panic, your limbic system is hijacked and all of a sudden you can't think straight. So you make decisions, you think in ways that you normally wouldn't. So at the moment, there are people literally, it's like jumping into a tumbleweed and just rolling along the floor. People don't know what they're doing or where they're at. And it's important that we bring it back to focus.
And I think that what compounds that is that you feel that way. And then the other part of you is saying, there's something seriously wrong that you feel that way. Why do you feel that way? How do you get out of it?
Absolutely. And look, there's two kinds of questions we can ask. One question that would be a logical question and one which is an emotional question. And at the moment, people are asking emotional questions, which never lead to good answers because there's no logic involved.
What do you mean by emotional question?
Well, you know, how can I bring things back into control? What's going to happen in the world? Is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? Am I going to lose my job? What if that's and what if this? And they're questions that really will always lead to a scary answer. So it's better to look at what are you really in control of and what are you not in control of? Because the majority of things we worry about are actually things we're not in control of. And then because we don't know the facts, our imagination starts to kick in and all of a sudden it goes on a big tangent.
What you're saying is that we're automatically almost going to the worst case scenario for ourselves and living that.
We are. And I mentioned the limbic system. I don't like to go too sciencey, but the limbic system at a neurological level can't tell the difference between what's real or imagined. Okay, so obviously our other parts of our brain can, but that part of the brain can't. So it's a bit like, you know, when you go and see a horror movie and your heart starts to beat and your blood pressure goes up, even though you know it's not real. And it's a little bit the same that when we're visualising or thinking about what could happen in the future or the worst case scenario, our brain is physically responding to those images in our head. So when you have any information, in order to process it, you have to visualise. Like if I say to you right now, pink elephant, you have to visualise it to process it. So when we put things in front of our brains, we're actually visualising it. Then when we visualise it, our brain releases chemicals. And those chemicals can be happy hormones if it's nice and we feel great and we have clarity.
Or
they can be cortisol, adrenaline, which are stress hormones, and that leads to foggy thinking. It can even weaken your immune system. The point of it is, if you're putting scary images in front of your mind and expecting to feel good or to feel empowered,
that's not
a reality. No.
But how do you stop that? Because I'm sure there will be people listening, and I know people myself who automatically go there and who will say to me, I can't help it. This is just the way I am.
Okay, so the first thing is to breathe. Even if you think about it now, if you're, you know, in a state of where you're crying or if you have a fright or if you're stressed, your breathing changes, which obviously affects the oxygen supply and that affects your thinking. So the first thing is to breathe. And I do a great technique. It's called 7-11, which basically you breathe into your nose for 7 and out for 11, but to really push out the out breath. And about 5 or 6 times of that, you'll actually feel your whole system will actually calm down. Then that opens up logic and then you can think. Then take out a pad and paper, because you engage in a different part of your neurology. You're not just thinking. Take out a pad and paper and do it into two columns. One, what am I in control of? Two, what am I not in control of? Sometimes, you know, you are in control of things like when you get up, what you eat, what you're doing during the day, and write down those simple things. Then things that you're not in control of, if, for example, you know, the thing in Ukraine, where the COVID spread, all that kind of stuff, you're not in control of that. So the worrying about it is not going to actually change anything. Then we've got to look at what is important and what is urgent. So you can do that in two separate columns. People think, well, I have to do this now, I have to do it now, and that creates more stress. Where a lot of the things you have to do now aren't actually important. So you have to look at what are the important things to do and the things that you're in control of. And then you focus on doing those. and just bringing yourself back to being in a calm state as often as you need to until your brain eventually learns, yes, actually, this is a better state to be in. And you have to protect your energy right now. You have energy inside you the same way a battery has. And unless you protect that, your power or your inner power or your inner level of physical energy, emotional, mental, whatever way you want to look at it, will go down. So it's important to preserve that. And that might be sometimes making tough choices. You know, who do you listen to most? What do you immerse yourself in? It might mean muting a few people on social media for a few days. You know, you don't have to delete them. Maybe you do. But even doing something simple like that.
And don't feel in any way that you're being selfish about it either, or that you're, you know, letting other people down. You know, women, we're very good at this, of putting other people first and neglecting our own need. So we make the phone call to somebody who we know is going to suck us dry.
Absolutely.
Instead of saying, do you know what? I'm not going to make that phone call right now because it's going to make me feel worse.
The reality is, Carol, you know, being selfish is different to being self-centred. Okay, self-centred is where you think the world revolves around you, which is never a good thing. Selfish is self-preservation. Being selfish is a good thing. You're self-caring, and it's not a luxury, as many people think it is. It's actually a priority. You can't pour from an empty cup. It's as simple as that. So the stronger and happier you are, the better position you are in to be around for other people, and the stronger and happier they can be. So it's actually selfish not to do it. So it's not about, you know, pushing people out of your life or being self-centred. It's more about being selective. And right now, people need to be very selective consciously and very aware of what they're doing. And everyone needs to protect their own life and their own family and what works for them in their own situation. And if that means making now and again, making a hard choice, well, so be it. What's the alternative? You know, to sink or swim. that's your option.
And I think that if you start developing that mindset for yourself, Donna, and it becomes a habit, it then becomes easier, doesn't it? And you become even more objective about it and about yourself and about what your own needs are, what you need and what you don't need as time goes on.
Absolutely. And look, I came up with an acronym because I think it's really useful. And the word, when we look at the word faith, right, a lot of people have associations with that. But if we look at it a different way, so I think the best way to get results is having a focused attitude, intuitively turning things into habits.
And focus, attitude, intuitively turning things into habits.
Yes.
I like that.
So if you're focused, you have a positive, productive attitude, you listen to your intuition, look at the word intuition, it's your inner teacher.
Yeah.
And then you're manifesting, and you have to, in order to manifest, you can't just think of a pie in the sky. You have to do specific actions, and those actions need to be purposeful and intentional. Then when you do that, you get the results that you want, whether that be a small goal or whether it be having a happier life in general. But it's very important. And also having the faith in yourself, because a lot of people are doubting their ability at the moment.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's about giving your hope, yourself hope, that you will be saved. And no one is going to save you. I mean, you can look for outside sources, whether that be the government or whether that be your partner or whether it be your job or whatever. Really, nobody is there to save you. But if you have faith in yourself and you have hope in yourself, you know, you do the opposite to doubt. I also have an acronym for doubt, because I think, you know, when we doubt ourselves, we basically, it's a deduction of our opportunities, uniqueness, brilliance of being and transformation.
Love that.
You know, we really have a choice to be in either state. But when we're in that faithful state, we have a better chance, much better chance of living the life that we want in a way that's very purposeful. And that leads into a meaningful life. And ultimately, no matter what people are searching for in life, they're looking for a meaningful life. Mm. At the moment, people, it's like they've built their hopes, they've built their dreams and goals on sand. And at the moment, because it's so chaotic, it can feel like quicksand. So people have two options. You either let yourself go under, or you actually take ownership and say, no, I'm actually going to do something different. I'm going to change my actions, change my focus, change my attitude, listen to my inner tuition.
Which will always do you right, really.
Yeah, sometimes I think people forget to, though. Mm. You know, they just rely on other people's opinions. But
yes,
it's important that you actually just listen to your gut. What is good for me right now? And do that.
Absolutely. Donna, it's just a pleasure to have you back. And I know you're going to continue now to come back regularly and share your wisdom with us. And you're also, I understand, you're starting a series of videos that people can connect with you.
Yeah. So what it is, I've just seen that there's a huge need for practical information at the moment on mastering your mind. And it's fine telling people to feel better, but they need to know how to do that. So for the last 2 years, I've literally put together what I'm going to have as a membership site. So when people subscribe to the site, they basically will get me every week into their inbox, and I will be doing a video relative to what's happening. Also, they will get a live every week. So that could be with me on my own doing something of relevance, or it's with an expert on a relevant topic that I wouldn't be as expert in. So if, for example, that I needed to talk to a sleep expert. I would get a sleep expert or a nutritionist. I feel that it's really important to give people correct advice. So we do that. So that, and then there's also webinars, you know, that could be anything with, I've done webinars with people, Chicken Soup for the Soul, The Secret, you know, there's lots of different people. I even have Skylar Jett from the Commodores. He's lined up as well. So there's loads of different people. But it's a matter of just giving people the variation, but has to be practical. You know, I've been through stuff, so I get this on a very real level.
Yes.
And I need to, for me personally, I feel it's a moral obligation to make that change. So yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, more power to you, I have to say. And if anybody wants to find out more information about that, where do they go?
DonnaKennedy.com.
DonnaKennedy.com. It is all on there. Donna, an absolute joy to have you back on with us. And thank you so much for that. Very wise
thank
words,
you.
I have to say. A lot to think about here. But we will revisit this again. And as I said, you will be back to share more gems of wisdom with us as well. Thank you
absolutely.
So much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.